Coverage of Where 2.0 is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.
At these kinds of events, like Where 2.0, you're bound to run into industry pundits, and one who I would consider someone who I tend to run into at these higher level intellectual events like Where 2.0. Last time I ran into Mary Hodder was at Search Champs, which MSN put on, and I was always interested, since everything that I had read about Mary had been through her blog, or at least one of her blogs, Napsterization. And I'm just curious, Mary, what does that mean? Where did it come from? Who made up that word?
Well, actually, there were two of us who thought that up. Adon Katz, who wrote Revolution is Not an AOL Keyword, which was a poem from BitBlog, which was my first blog. He and I talked about doing this at the first Creative Commons, the launch of Creative Commons that night. And the next day we registered it and did it. And it was really his brainchild, but what we wanted, with the name was to convey that this was going to be a blog that was about digital media and about how things are disruptive and how people on one side or another of digital media, digital copyright issues will characterize things, and that maybe this could be a forum for us to uncharacterize those things or change things. So, for example, I just wrote a post this morning about Grokster and about how the MPAA and RIAA have sort of, you know, won this round, but that in the end, and I'm guessing 5 to 8 years from now, that a lot of users will be doing so many interesting things with digital media that they will actually shift things because of their activity. And so business models will follow behind that, and then copyright will follow behind that, because copyright's a reflection, I think, of social norms as well as, you know, it's not just what the MPAA and the RIAA want. So we made this blog because, you know, we wanted to do something that was, you know, where we could focus in this area. And then Adon has not, he's not been much of a blogger. It's just not his thing. You know, he's a long form writer guy. And so I've basically been doing it, but it's, you know, I have fun with it.
I noticed a recent entry, which is somewhat germane being at a conference right now. You had made mention of the fact that you're tired of panels. You want the conference biz to just kind of move beyond panels.
Yeah, I wrote that out of frustration at the end of a long day of panels that weren't working so well necessarily. I don't think panels are totally dead. That was the title.
I've made those bombastic statements as well. So
it's not that they're totally dead. It's just that that there's an opportunity when you have all these incredibly smart people in the room who all have, you know, people are building cool things. They're researching amazing stuff. It's like, don't just broadcast. We're not just in broadcast mode anymore. You know, use the audience. People have really rich experiences and information to share. And I think led discussions are really interesting. So it's, you know, it takes a special kind of a person who can lead that discussion and who maybe knows a good chunk of the audience that can keep that really flowing and choose people and make it fair and do all the things that we want to have in a led discussion. But at the same time, really leverage the audience and make it really interactive and fun, instead of everybody with their heads down in their laptops, halfway paying attention to email and IM and blogging the event, and then halfway paying attention to some broadcast panel, which isn't maybe so fun. And there's an opportunity there to get people really, like, very involved in sharing.
And so, you're no stranger to conference coordination and dealing with the administrative headaches of putting on conference content things.
Yeah. Well, I've participated. I've helped organize, I don't know, a couple conferences. But doing Blog On was the one that was the most involved, you know, the most involved that I've been in. I was part of the core group of people that put that on. And it's a lot of work, but
what's the payoff for you?
We did it because we wanted to focus on blogging and social media. It was really more of a conference. I mean, we called it Blog On at the beginning, and we realized about a month after that it was really about social media. And social media being defined as social activity that occurs online, and as a result of that activity, people make media. And it can be implicit media where they link to somebody on their blog, or it could be explicit where they, you know, post a photo on Flickr.
That I did an interview recently with a game designer from who works at, what was it, Amaze Entertainment. I had posted a really odd photo, and immediately he saw it, and he made it a favorite or whatever. And then I dug a little deeper as to his background. I'm like, wow, he's a game developer. And the next week, I had him on as a guest for the program, just because I uploaded a photo on Flickr. He added it as a favorite, and we just started talking. It was just very strange. It's almost like speed friendships that kind of catalyze because of these tools, like, for example, Flickr.
Right. It's very cool. I mean, so that's social, and he made a kind of media by making it a favorite. And I mean, that stuff's really cool. And we couldn't do that before, and not in the same ways.
Before what?
Before the internet existed, and then certain applications, you know, that leverage the internet to allow us to connect in ways that are amazing. I mean, we could always go and connect with people before, but we had to be in the same place. We had to see each other. We had to somehow be in some kind of physical proximity. And the internet lets you lose time and space and behave asynchronously and still connect to each other. And that's really unbelievably amazing. It's really exciting. You know, what happened for you is like, that's incredible.
It's strange. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how it happened, but just because it is so new, and you wouldn't normally think of that being a mechanism to meet someone and just to have your lives completely cross, and then everything that comes from it catalyzes because of that one weird thing that happened because you uploaded a silly little photo.
Right.
And it's still kind of weird. It's so simple, it's complicated.
But the other really cool part about that is that even though it is really strange or really exciting or really incredible, and it's good to think about why those things are, you know, what that is and what it means, it's also cool that we're starting to take it for granted a little bit, which means we're starting to rely on it, which means we're socializing with the technology. It's becoming a part of our lives. We upload photos to Flickr, and it's becoming regular that we comment on each other's photos, or people make my photos their favorites, or I make theirs, you know, mine, and that we tag each other's stuff. And so it's really exciting that we're paying attention to each other and connecting in those ways, but we're also getting used to communicating in those ways and then thinking about how we can extend it more. And that's really exciting too in this, you know, but again, you're taking it for granted and then moving on to the next step.
I've actually got a word for someone who adds you as a friend on a photo sharing service and then doesn't reciprocate that, you know, mm-hmm. someone adding as a friend. That's called a flucker.
Okay, you know, wait a minute. I have a defense for that because I do that sometimes, and here's the reason why. It's not that I don't want to connect to everyone. I actually would love to do it, but here's the thing. I use this really cool app called 1001, and it's made by the Kung Fu. It's kung-fu.tv, and that's where you can find it. But it's
for which
it's made
platform?
By the guys who it's a Mac thing. It's made for it by the guys who did Ecto. And it's completely awesome. What happens is periodically during the day, this sheer little window, like 2 inches by 2 inches, pops up on the bottom corner of my screen, which is where I placed it, so that's where it would come up. And these little thumbnails of my contacts' photos come up. And I have, like, you know, 70 contacts. But everybody who links to me, if I did that, that little thing would be changing all the time. And I want... What I love about that thing, and what's totally exciting to me, I'm completely addicted to it for the last 9 months, is that I can see what my friends are uploading right when they upload. They throw it up there, and I immediately get these thumbnails, and I can see the metadata that they put around it. So, so-and-so's in Moscow, and someone else is in San Francisco on a bus, and someone else is, you know, I don't know, cleaning out their backyard. But I mean, stuff is, or they're at a conference and they're seeing people or whatever's going on. It's, I get to experience what they're experiencing pretty close to the time that they do it, especially because a lot of these people upload with, you know, cell phones and whatnot. So it makes me feel very close to them. But the problem would be if I link to everybody who's linked to me, then I would have, like, you know, 200 people.
Is that, though, a limitation on Flickr's part by only allowing you to define whether someone's a friend or a family member?
Well, actually, the way that I think I would solve that problem is not so much in the definition of friend or family or adding more definitions. I think actually that's probably fine. Instead, I would rethink the application, the 1001 application, and maybe do something where you know, you were able to maybe you could use the two definitions of friend and family, and 1001 could say, we'll pull just your friends and not your family, or we'll pull just your family and not your friends, which is a bit of a hack on what they're doing. But really, I mean, it seems to me having more than two categories is confusing for users. So it's not so much the friend or family designation, those words, but it's more like, you know, I kind of want to have people I connect to in Flickr that are people that I would just like to connect to, and then there's people who I want to see their photos in my photo stream.
So it's,
and so maybe it's more like you just redefine the two categories and then...
For personal use.
For personal use, and then, you know, but I don't really want to have more than two categories. Myself.
I agree with you. What I would want if I were looking for something, Orkut kind of did it after it had been released, but there's like a sliding scale, you know, where you can define, I've met this person, I don't know this person. And 9 times out of 10 on a social network that someone asked me to sign up for, I ignore 99% of them, unless it's actually useful to me, like Flickr. I will only add the people that I physically know or have been in the same physical space with at some point in time, just to limit being a Flucker, basically.
Right, right. Well, the thing is that I'm actually happy to respond to everybody who's linked to me. It's like, it's nice that they want to link to me. I kind of want to be nice back. But I just, you know, I need some way to mediate the amount of material that's coming through that photo stream. And it's not, I don't think that the answer is necessarily making more. It's just kind of, you know, moderating how we use those two categories or whatever.
Dana Boyd has had a bit of insight as far as a lot of the way that social networks work and the pressure that you feel if someone adds you as a friend and you don't reciprocate.
Right.
How does it make you feel then? If let's say you reach out to someone you know and you add them as a friend and you say, oh, I know this person's my friend, and they don't add you back. How do you feel?
Right. Well, I because I've had this experience of having this intersection of, you know, wanting a certain amount of media and crossing it with my social network and Flickr, I now assume that there may be other reasons why somebody doesn't want to link back, and it may be because they don't want too much material or they're
so you don't get a complex or anything.
Yeah, I just figure, or maybe the email got lost, or yeah. I just don't really, you know, we're all getting so much stuff that I just figure they... You know, whatever. Other things are going on. But I can certainly see, and like I said, I feel a little bit bad not linking back because...
It's that weird pressure kind of thing. It's like...
It is. The affordance isn't quite right.
It was like in grade school, you would get a note passed, do you want to go out with me? Circle yes or no. It's
right.
Like, you have to respond one way or another. And either way,
right.
You, depending on the situation,
you're
kinda
screwed.
Oh, God. Unless, of course, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You could just say, you know, that should be a situation where Apple's mail program where it sends the fake bounce would actually come in handy. Like, sorry, the person didn't get it. Their mail gateway was down. Oh, boy.
Right.
So you use the term social media. Would you consider yourself a social media evangelist?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so what does it say on your business card?
I don't really think about it. I don't actually have business cards. I'm kind of...
So you've transcended that whole...
Being a little bit impish, and I just... If I meet someone at a conference, I open my laptop, and I immediately open an email and send it to them, and then later I fill out the body and send it, and I just kind of leave it at that. Or they give me their card, and I email them. And I actually email a lot of people that way. I don't know. Business cards...
They're passe. Yeah. They're so physical.
And what would I say? It's hard. Paper is hard. I don't want to do paper.
Ever again? Are you a paperless type of person?
I try to avoid paper.
In every form?
Whenever I can. Sometimes you have to do it.
So you're a big proponent of e-books? Do you have a PDA that you usually scan?
Actually, I do. I have a PDA, and I do put e-books on it and other paper documents or whatever. But I just prefer to get everything in an electronic form and search it. I'm really a huge search proponent.
Well, what's
I'd
your background?
Rather,
I'm assuming a higher education.
Yeah, I actually have a master's from Berkeley in information science. And so my job, as it were, my title, I guess, if I had to put it on a business card, would be usability engineer, interaction designer, information architect. That's what I focused on at Berkeley, and that's the work that I've been doing for clients, and it's the work that I'm doing in my own company startup. So,
how's that going?
It's going really well. We're in development, and we're having a lot of fun and doing interesting things. In fact, last night we came up with some really good stuff, and it was pretty exciting to check out the beginnings of what we've got. We want to put a beta out soon and let people play with it.
So you're working on a web service?
Yeah, it's a web service.
Okay.
And so the goal is to get something out there as quickly as we can and invite people that are interested in to use it and start getting feedback and start relating with them, doing things that users want. And you can never think of everything. You're always going to make mistakes, so why not let people use it and fix that stuff? So that's kind of the goal.
Interesting approach. How big a team do you have?
There are four of us who are working all the time. And then we have a number of people who are maybe temporarily working all the time right now, but they specialize in certain things. So they, we kind of have invited them in to do to do one very specific thing. And then we have several part-time people who are not available all the time, but do really, good stuff. I have a usability person, and I have a couple of researchers, and so I guess total number of people who have their hands, their fingers in this pie at this moment, maybe 11 people, but a lot of them are really, just doing very specific things.
They're just Flickr friends at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, we just, it's like things are complicated, and you want to, I want to use people who are really good at what they do, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we should have somebody working full time on this project all the time, but it's really nice to be able to pull them in and have them do a very particular thing for us. And so I've been really happy with kind of working that way.
And is there a URL we could kind of keep an eye on, or an RSS feed?
Well, no, there, because we haven't put it out yet. We don't have anything out to put out yet.
Like in terms of your company doesn't have a...
So the company name is Blox, B-L-O-Q-X. But we don't have anything online. I know. Well, that's the company name. So we haven't actually decided on a product name yet. We're playing around with that.
Are you gonna do what everybody else and just cut out the E out of the ER and just go?
I know.
Mapper, we could, Flickr.
Exactly.
Friendster.
We'll be Bride of Flickr. I don't know. No.
They seem to start a trend with that one.
No, we're not doing Flickr. I'll blog it. It'll be on my blog. Yeah. We'll throw it out. I'm sure people will blog it too, and it'll make the rounds.
If your audience is the social web, or these folks who are knee deep in Flickr and tags and et cetera, then I'm sure it's going to bubble up on everybody's radar with relative speed.
Right. Well, but we don't want to. There's no point in bubbling up until you actually have something to show. So basically, I don't want to start blogging about anything or telling people, showing it until we have that stuff. But I mean, we will invite everyone we know in, and then ask them to.
Sure you want to say that? Because then someone's going to be listening and say, "Well, she didn't invite me. I'm taking her off of Flickr."
Well, no. Everyone will. And if anybody wants in, they can certainly email me. It's really easy. We'll invite people in.
You'll work it out. You'll make it happen.
Yeah.
You know the boss. Yeah. All right, Mary, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Coverage of Where 2.0 is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.